Wasn't that wonderful? I appreciate Marcus just keeping on with it. Amen. Amen. God's good. Amen.
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 Jesus is worthy.
Amen.
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 Amen. Worthy.
Amen.
Amen. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you don't know whether to shout or to bow down, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
That song will take you on an emotional roller coaster ride. Amen. You go from wanting to stand up and shout the victory to just wanting to fall on your face and
and
thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He's good. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I want to say with Pastor, I sure am thankful that people use their gifts for the glory of God. There's folks that would criticize, I don't know if you realize this or not, but there's folks that criticize people standing up and singing in church as almost like it's performance, that you ought to have congregational singing, but you ought not have what we call special singing. And I tell you, I don't understand that for a minute, because I can't honestly, I love to sing. My family knows it. They don't love for me to sing. That song we were singing upon a midnight, yeah. Meredith started laughing about halfway through the song. I said, that ain't right. That is not right. Laughing at me down there singing, singing in her ear. She's laughing at me. But I can't sing. I can make a joyful noise. But I sure am glad that I can enjoy other people that can sing. God has gifted people to profit with all, and I sure am thankful that you use your gifts in the church.
Amen.
I'd like to hear that bluegrass group sing again sometime. They need to work on another song. It shouldn't be once a year we get to hear that. That was excellent.
Yeah.
All the music was good. I'm going to get into my message, because Pastor gave me a little plug right before I got up here. He said these short snapshots, right? That was right before I got up here. Short snapshots. And so that's what I'm going to try to give you tonight. You're in Luke chapter 2. And I want to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God,
Amen.
The Everlasting Father,
yeah.
The Prince of Peace. Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's what Pastor was preaching on this morning.
Amen.
See, there's coming a day where Jesus is going to rule and reign forever.
Right.
And ever.
Amen.
And ever. And ever.
That's right.
There shall be no end to his rule and to his reign and to his kingdom and to his peace. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. In case we didn't catch it the first time, the Holy Ghost wanted us to know it's forever. He's going to rule forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You're in Luke chapter number 2. I want to read a couple verses here in Luke chapter 2. But as I do, I want to give you a couple thoughts. I want to speak on another spirit tonight. Some of you have been here Sunday nights this December, and I've been preaching on the spirit of Christmas. And we've talked about numerous spirits up to this point. And I want to finish out tonight with a spirit that I believe is taught in the Christmas story. And I want to look at that tonight. I want to talk about the spirit of Christmas, and I want to talk that it's a spirit of peace. I looked up the word peace, and I want you to hear this definition before I read in Luke chapter number 2. I think it's important, so I want you to really pay attention what the word peace means. I looked it up in an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. The word peace has many different definitions. They're all very closely connected. I want to give you a couple of the definitions that Webster's Dictionary gives for peace. It says that peace is freedom from war or from internal commotion, from quarrels. Not the gas station, right? From disturbance. So freedom from war, from internal commotion, from quarrels, from disturbance. I like this one. Freedom from agitation. That's what peace is. It also is a tranquility or a quietness of mind or conscience. Another definition said it's the harmony or reconciliation of two parties at variance. Are you still with me? I want you to keep that thought in mind as I read these passages of Scripture that is so easy to read and just kind of not really think about what you're reading. But in Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 8, the Bible says this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angelitude a multitude of heavenly hosts." I want to let you know this heavenly host, if you've been to a Christmas play or you've been to a Bethlehem walk or some sort of live nativity, a lot of times the heavenly host is three or four children dressed in white, kind of lit up in an upper deck somewhere. And I understand for sake of what we've got to work with, that's what most of the time happens. But this word heavenly host, it's literally a military term. And host is a multitude of people. It's almost like an army of angels. And so I want you to understand what was happening here. The angel was speaking and said, "Unto you, this day in the city of David, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord." And then the Bible says that then after that, it said suddenly, I just out of nowhere, there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. I'm picturing the sky lighting up with a multitude, an army of angels, you may say. And the Bible says that they said this, that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." That's what our pastor was trying to say just now. Amen. That's what he was trying to say. So sometimes your tongue can't quite say what's in your heart, but what he was trying to say was, "Glory to God in the highest." Sometimes you just don't know, there's not words to express the glory that we want to give to God. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 103 when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that is within me, bless his holy name." The psalmist said, I don't even know how to give him the glory that he deserves, but all that is within me, I just want to bless his name. And these angels are trying to bless his name. They say, "Glory to God in the highest," right? And on earth. And I want you to see what they said. They said the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," look at it, "peace." Peace. You say, what does that mean, Brother David? Well, I got a little excited there. Maybe you forgot. It means freedom from agitation. It means freedom from war. It means freedom from internal commotion. It means freedom from quarrels or from disturbance. It is a tranquility or a quietness of mind and conscience. It is harmony or reconciliation of two parties that are at variance. So I want you to really think about what these angels were saying. They were saying, "Hey, glory to God in the highest. In heaven, God gets the glory. But on earth, they said peace. Peace." And I want to talk tonight about the spirit of peace. Are you at peace tonight? Do you have peace tonight? I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting up here on the platform, Pastor, during the song. And I was just kind of scanning the auditorium. And it's like all of a sudden the load just sat down on me. As I was sitting there, I looked out across this auditorium. I realized that there are eternal souls here And there are some that are sitting in this building tonight, and there's a war internally going on in their soul. There is no tranquility. There is no quietness of mind or conscience. There is no freedom from disturbance or from commotion. They know nothing about peace. And you say, how do you know that, Brother David? Because you can see it. I've experienced it. In the story of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas is a spirit of peace. Of all the things that those angels could have proclaimed that night, they said peace. Peace on earth. I find it interesting, and I've got to hurry, but I find it interesting that if you do the research, historians say, the Bible doesn't necessarily say, but historians say that around the time that this happened, some believe it was around 27, I guess would be BC. This would be around BC. Yeah, I'm all over the place here, right? You know what I'm saying. This was before Jesus was born, right? Okay? He wasn't in the womb 27 years. But some say that during this time, I think it was 27 BC to this period, the Roman Empire, I knew it was somewhere, I was thinking, God help me, please. From 27 BC to this period in time, that Rome had conquered basically what was the known world, and there was world peace. Now I say peace. You know, many of us, if we're honest, as we sit here tonight, have really lived in one of the most peaceful times ever. Now I understand that other places in the world tonight, there's not peace. But in our country, in our world, most of the people that I'm speaking to tonight know very little about war. All that we know about, now there's a couple that have served in the military, and thank you for that. But most of us, the majority of us tonight, the only thing we know about war, we saw in a movie, we read in a book, or some young people played it on a video game. But we have experienced peace our entire lives, but yet there's so many people without peace. And so though the Roman Empire supposedly had brought about peace, they were ruling the known world. There was not any wars going on at the time. Rome ruled. No doubt there were many people without peace. And these angels said that on that Christmas night, they said, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. Peace. And so I wonder tonight, do you have peace? Are you free from war? Are you free from agitation? Are you free from internal commotion? Are you free from disturbance? Do you have a tranquility or a quietness of mind or conscience? Is there harmony or reconciliation between two parties that are at variance? You say, what does that mean, Brother David? I found it interesting that was one of the definitions that Webster gave. Because you know the Bible teaches that before we get saved, we are basically at war with God. Do you remember the war? See, I'm afraid I'm looking around the auditorium tonight, and many of us have been saved for many years, and maybe, as Pastor BJ was saying, we've forgotten that hopelessness. We've forgotten that helplessness. We've forgotten that disturbance of soul. But maybe there's someone here tonight, you haven't forgotten, you're experiencing it. And so I'm asking tonight, do you have peace with God? Because there's a war raging. And the only way that war can be won is by the Prince of Peace. There's only one way that war can be won, and it is by the Prince of Peace. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1 says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God tonight? Do you have peace with God? Or are you still at enmity with God? Is there still a war raging between you and God? Or do you tonight have peace with God? There's only one way to have peace with God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have our sins forgiven. We have to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we can have peace with God. That comes through salvation. But I wonder tonight, for those of us that are saved, do we not just have peace with God, do we have the peace of God? Because there is a difference. You see, you get peace with God through salvation, and I hope that everyone in this field tonight, and I mean it from the bottom of my soul, I hope that everyone in this field tonight has peace with God. And if you do not, if there is a war between you and God, if there is enmity between you and God, there is a separation between you and God, there is a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and that's what Christmas is about. Jesus came to break that wall of partition that have been put up and to connect us to God. And so if you're not saved, you can be saved tonight and have peace with God. But if you are saved tonight, maybe there's disturbance in your soul. Maybe there's no tranquility, no quietness, no calmness, and you're just troubled. Can I tell you, there is a peace of God. There's the peace of God that comes through salvation. There's peace with God that comes through being spiritual. Peace of God comes through being saved. The peace with God comes through being saved. The peace of God comes through being spiritual. You know, the Bible says this, and I'm going to finish up. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. If you read Romans chapter number 8, it's talking about that old man and that new man. Galatians chapter number 5 talks about that old man and that new man. They're at enmity one with another. James chapter number 4, he said that friendship of the world is enmity with God. James said you've got wars going on inside of you. You lust and you have not, and you war and you battle, and it's because you're thinking with a carnal mind, and you see the carnal mind doesn't have peace, but the spiritual mind has peace. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter number 3, I think it's verse 17, says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So you can have peace with God. I wonder tonight, do you have peace with God? If you do, you're saved. Do you have the peace of God? Do you have the peace of God? Jesus said it like this in John chapter number 14, verse number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Listen to this. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So what's that mean? It means the world's peace, it doesn't last. The world's peace doesn't last. But Jesus said, I have peace that I give unto you, and I give it not as the world gives. I'm going to give you a peace that's going to last. He said, I give it not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you have peace tonight? God wants us to have a spirit of peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. God, I thank you for the peace of God that we can have. God, I thank you for the peace with God that we can have through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray tonight that if there's anybody here that God does not have peace, Lord, I pray tonight they would get the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.